from KQED.
Later this week, the California Air Resources Board is expected to approve a major set of new rules regarding greenhouse gas emissions. As many industries are forced to go on a low-carbon diet, timber companies are in a position to benefit. For one thing, trees are big storehouses for carbon dioxide, a major greenhouse gas. For another, the industry has had a lot of input in shaping the rules, according to Mark Shapiro. He covers environmental stories for the Center for Investigative Reporting and California Watch.
The timber industry is sitting on this enormous pool of carbon credits. The mandate of the Air Resources Board in implementing California's pioneering greenhouse gas law was specifically to increase the quantity of carbon in the trees so that they don't go up into the atmosphere, to reduce California's contribution to greenhouse gases. So if carbon sinks into trees, trees are made up about 50% of carbon dioxide. And now what you're getting is a system where the companies that are emitting greenhouse gases will be able to purchase credits to offset their emissions. So the bulk of those credits in the new California system are going to come from forests.
So you have a bunch of companies that will now be purchasing carbon credits, if you will, from timber companies. And the timber companies, what, they leave their forests alone now because they're making money from the timber credits?
Well, according to these new rules, they've got several options. One option is to keep their land untouched and sell that promise to not convert the land into a commercial strip mall, for example, or a commercial housing complex for a century, 100 years. The second option, and this is a more controversial option, is that the companies take the land that they've forested and replant it. And when they replant it with a new breed of trees that store higher degrees of carbon than were there before.
So let me get this straight here. California is going to reduce its greenhouse emissions by essentially encouraging clear-cutting.
It enables clear-cutting to continue, as it's doing now. And the companies get credit for the trees that they replant. And that's what's key.
I should mention we asked Mary Nichols, head of the Air Resources Board, to comment. She points out there's always been a timber industry in California. And from her perspective, clear-cutting is not necessarily a bad thing.
We see this as an opportunity to actually improve the management of forested lands and to make a contribution to the health of the forests and the atmosphere.
What kind of lobbying did it take to make this happen?
One of the most significant influences on the shaping of the protocol was Sierra Pacific, the largest timber landholder in the state of California. They made a lot of campaign contributions to state legislators, to the governor of California, and they submitted multiple position papers establishing what their demands were. And to a great extent, they got what they asked for.
Is there a rational argument to be made for this policy? If they are planting trees that hold more carbon, if lands that might not have otherwise been planted are being planted, are there rational arguments for this?
The argument for clear-cutting and then replanting, clear-cutting and replanting, has a certain logic to it. On the other hand, what the protocol does not do does take further measures to preserve forests, and that's where you have the central tension right now. Having as a goal purely the storage of more carbon in trees versus the idea of preserving the biodiversity and the larger ecological function of forests.
Thank you for talking with us.
Thank you.
Mark Shapiro covers environmental stories for the Center for Investigative Reporting and California Watch. His article appears in newspapers around the state this week. We've got a link on our website, californiareport.org.